Okay, look at this. I have notes and everything, and we can talk about stuff. How are you doing? It's been a while. We took a week off because my life interrupted our pop culture discussion flows.
Oh, man. Really good. Keeping busy like everybody else. So that's always
good. Yeah, good. Keeping busy. Surviving the weather.
Kids are doing good. Surviving the weather. Car just got an oil change. Got my winter tires on.
Yeah.
What else?
Did you get winter tires on?
No. Winter tires is for suckers.
I have winter tires.
Cheers.
Thanks a lot.
I did get this new Super Mario Cup mug from Amazon.
Yeah, I'm going to go full screen so everybody can see that.
Okay. Right. Great, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So I get it. The box is totally crushed. The mug is not. There's a chip in the bottom of the mug. And then on the bottom of the mug, you know, when just you touch something, you're like, this has been touched before by many people. So I look at it, I take it out with it. The package just disintegrated. I held up the mug like this.
Yeah.
I looked under the bottom and there's a dirt, like a brown dirt ring. $30 for this.
Did you send it back and get a new one?
Well, it's in my hand.
Well, I don't know if you sent it back and got a new one, and this is just like the successful version of that transaction, or not
so much. And you guys can't tell, but I thought it was like I had a Kylo Ren one that was huge. I thought this was big. It's just like a regular size.
That looks like a 12-ounce.
There you go, 12-ounce
mug, not like a 16 or 20-ounce big boy.
No, it's such a big boy. It's just small and boy.
$30.
I need my big boy. $30. And there's a dirt ring on the bottom of it.
Well, you know what? That's a little icing on the cake for you.
Amazon, I love you so much.
I would have sent that back so fast that Amazon would have blinked thinking that they hadn't shipped it in the first place. Amazon now will pick up crap from your doorstep. You don't even need to package it up or print anything off. You just say, pick this crap up, take it back there, and then get a refund or get another one sent. Because that is ridiculous. I've seen nothing but awesome Amazon videos with people in their iRing cameras and their like doorbells, where like people like from like across the yard are just hurling and whipping boxes at the front door where they're supposed to go, thinking that they're not being watched.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had that happen to me, luckily, but I've seen those too. It's just, dude, like, if you don't want to do your job, then go get another job. But you don't have a right to freaking destroy our packages with ceramic mugs in them. I'm so surprised this is not broken, but I'm pretty sure it's used. This was probably used by an Amazon employee for many months.
It was used by the driver that delivered it. I'm surprised you're risking your lips on that coffee crips.
Well, I hand washed it and then it went through the dishwasher and then I let it sit for 2 days before I used it. I'm like, okay, I think I'm in the clear.
Would you like put it like under UV lights just to make sure?
Callum.
Boo.
You just made that with your mouth. You wrote that song. You just went up to like you plugged in your Shure microphone and you just went do.
You should have heard the lyrics for it originally.
It's the Jay and Rob Toy Show. Toys are toys. I love my toys. Put it on your shelf, then get in credit card chrome debt.
We should talk about lyrics. Because you have some very famous lyrics from some great songs.
You know, I wish I could say the same about you, but you don't. You don't got any lyrics. So unfortunately, we can't have discussions where we both can't participate.
All my lyrics.
That's what we agreed upon.
Buried deep down inside, along with my soul to Dave.
Yeah, we took your lyrics and threw them down the stairs, along with the rest of your ideas.
Yeah.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Who cares?
Muddy and dingy and freezing rain everywhere.
Christmas annoys me so much.
It's going to be one of those shows, folks. It's going to be one of those shows.
Holiday. I'm not even like in retail anymore. And it's like a 2 month holiday. And it's just, oh God, I don't like it.
Okay. But what really bothers you? Is it the commerce side or is it actually all the positive, happy spirit of, you know, goodwill towards your fellow person?
The materialism.
Okay, well, that's fair. Because if you were going to say you're down on people like being friendly, you know, for one time a year, then...
Oh, God, I'll never be down on people for being friendly. I love those people. They're a lot rarer than the angry ones, I tell you. No, not at all. It's just the, I got to get the perfect thing for my blank, for my son, for my wife, whatever.
Yeah.
Even back in the day for my mom. Still. You know, it's just, it's that annoying pressure. And then you know you got to go to the mall. I mean, I'm talking, this is before Amazon, my best friend. She is. You know, you got to go to the mall and you know it's going to be busy and it's just, you don't want to do it. I don't like it.
Yeah. The race, the struggle, the concern, the worry. We set a limit. I mean, it's very important to me that my kids have a good Christmas because I think kids only get like 5 or 6 like prime Christmases, like golden Christmases where like it really matters to them before they kind of grow out of it and they kind of mature. So it really matters to me that they have a good Christmas experience. And it's almost like the Christmas Story or like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation where you go down the list of things that you have to do. Can't really go sledding right now because there's not too much snow, but you do all the things. You decorate the tree, you hang the lights, you watch your Christmas movies. But when it comes to gifts, we have pretty hard limits. It's like you get one big gift from mom and dad and a couple of small ones, one gift from Santa and a couple of small ones, and that's it. You know, and it's pretty evident early on what they want those bigger gifts to be. And we ask for options and they know they might not, they might get one of their options and that's it. So that we've eliminated the stress out of it. And it's not going to be mountains and mountains of toys because it's, we're trying to make it not about that. We're trying to make it more about just spending time and doing the fun things that you can't buy.
Yeah. No. My only memories are mountains and mountains of toys.
Well, you're a lucky guy. I mean, I definitely have some of those memories too, but I don't want that to be the focus for them. And I don't want them when they become parents, if they choose that's a path they want, to have to replicate that either. You know, it's not worth it for anybody. Especially kids get so either burnt out from like, I remember 2 years ago, our kids, we didn't spend a lot of money, but there was a lot of gifts and they got burnt out of opening. They're like, I don't want to open any more presents. I just want to play with this stuff over here. It's like, okay, well that's interesting.
That is interesting.
They got tired of opening presents because they were just satisfied with, you know, the 3 or 4 things they had on their lap.
Maybe they just didn't like being watched. You know, some people don't like that.
I struggle with that very, very much.
Because alongside buying the perfect gift for that person and worrying about, oh, is this enough? Have I spent enough? Are they going to like it enough? There's also the, when they reciprocate it, you have to be like, oh my God, you got me this thing. I wanted it. Not really. I would have got it in the summer if I wanted it. But oh, it's so wicked. It feels so fake. I'm just terrible at it, right? I don't like having to have that reaction. And then
I think you and I suffer from the same thing, though.
Yeah, obviously, we're traumatized somewhere during
a I think you and I only feel comfortable getting gifts from certain people. I think you feel comfortable getting gifts from your mom. We're not worried about your reaction to her. Like,
yeah,
and I'm the same way with my grandma. Getting gifts from anybody else feels very strange to me. Like, I don't even like compliments because it's awkward to hear good things.
Well, I like compliments.
Well, so I didn't say I didn't like them. I said it was awkward.
Mm.
You know, much like getting a gift. And our good friend, Articulated Chad, he's decided to support our grooming company that my partner and I had started, which has gone great. And I really appreciate Chad since he doesn't have any hair. You know, he's into it because he wants to support. He wants to do something nice. I'm like, dude, you don't have to do this. I know we're friends. And he's like, oh, no, I want to. I'm like, hey, dude, don't. He's like, and I want to, you know, what do you think about this? Can I send this to you? I'm like, no, don't send me anything. Please don't. He goes, Rob, if you don't do it, I'm going to send it to you anyways. And you're out. Can I have it? They started gift bullying me. Like, he like forced me to take a gift.
Well, he's I don't know. I mean, I've come across a lot of really nice people in our time being in this world that is the things that we do, but I haven't met anyone like him. He's one of the most selfless people and he's one of the coolest dudes. Like every time I stream, he's on there. It's like super chat, boom, boom. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Come on. But he's just, that's the way he is, man. You just got to accept it. Embrace the love. He has lots of love.
You don't want to change the nature of a person if that's something that they want to do. But it's touching, Chad, and I know you're watching, and I appreciate it. It's just very difficult for someone like me and for Jay, too. So anyways, thank you. I do have an icebreaker for this week if you would like to entertain me and everybody else watching.
Let's break the ice.
I think you'll like this one. If you could kill one specific toy line that was suddenly no longer in anyone's collection, what choice do you think would cause the most outrage? So like, imagine this, collectors everywhere go to bed and the next morning they wake up and they go in their collection
Transformers.
And it's like gone.
Transformers.
Why Transformers? Why do you think that would cause the most outrage?
Because in my personal experience, they're the most outraged fandom.
More than Star Wars.
Yeah, I found recently, again, personal experiences, I've been corrected on a number of different occasions when I never professed to be. I put out a little short the other day about just my War for Cybertron collection and you got the touch and all that stuff. Oh, actually, man. He was not in there, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just
actually,
like,
you don't got the touch. That was from another.
Like, actually, the Shark Tacon number 3 was not in that. Thank you. And I'm just like, dude, I just love my stuff and I love the movie. I think my other shelf like peeked into the frame or something. Star Wars fans, they love Andor and everything is great. The rest of the stuff they just don't care about anymore. Which is, I'm fine with that too, because Star Wars fans for a while were getting a little out of control.
Yeah, Star Wars is like puddle jumping. They go from one thing to another.
We say it all the time. If you like something, great. If you don't like it, great. But who cares at the end of the day? Love what you love. Don't worry about anyone else. That's it. So that being said, Transformer fans, I would say I would take out Transformers just for a little bit of payback from what they've been given.
So
me
funny. You're so funny. And I should say that you are a Transformers fan too, as am I.
I love Transformers.
I wouldn't consider myself a Transformers collector. My favorite Transformers are the ones that don't transform, for example.
But you and I, you know, with the time we grew up, you're younger, so you know Beast Wars more than I do.
No, I don't. No, Beast Wars
I think
was,
it's fair
no,
to say know. That you and I are G1 guys. That's what we like. That's what we grew up with, what gravitated towards. And it's funny. It's like you make a video or you make a statement online. And it's like you and I never professed to know. We're not like the dictionary for this stuff. So if you get like one little thing wrong, they jump all over you. I don't respond, man, because I don't have time for that. I just sit back and laugh. It's like, holy cow, man. Like
I've never felt comfortable claiming to be an expert of anything. No. Like you often in a complimentary sort of way say that, you know, I'm the He-Man guy. And while I've made a documentary on He-Man and spent a lot of time and seen a lot of archives and put together that story in that film, I am not an expert on it by any means. I probably know a little bit more than maybe the average fan, but the people that we have come into contact with and the information that they know is just crazy amounts more than I could ever manage to know or care to know.
When your online persona is part of the brand, I would say that, you better know your stuff then. And the people I'm not naming names, but those people do. They do know their stuff. But, you know, I'm just Jay. And we had fun.
I should be Motu McZob.
Motu Mob.
Master McZob?
Slob.
No?
Yeah.
No.
But, I mean, it would be fair to say Star Wars, G.I. Joe are my things. Turtles, He-Man, yours, right? But we don't really profess to know everything. about that stuff. So anyway, long-winded answer. I would say Transformers just to kind of get the reaction.
That's funny. I do find the Transformers fans that I know, and I don't know many, and I apologize if this is a generalization, but because the toy brand is so intricate and so highly developed, and the knowledge it takes to be able to transform, and all the subsects and sublines and all the iterations, like, you've got to really fall in love with it to know your corner of it and to branch out from corner to corner. So that I feel like if you were to just swipe it all away, it would cause massive Cybertronian ripples.
Sure. I've also got, oh, you're one of them, meaning like you're just a G1 guy. And it's like, well, yeah, so? And it's not like you and I weren't there the first day that the Michael Bay film came out.
I'm also, you know, like a Wave 1 and 2 TMNT fan. What, does that mean I can't love Turtles as much as you?
No, but it's like you're one of those guys, meaning that I know and follow the G1 stuff, and it's not like I haven't tried. Dude, we should, you know, one day talk about the Robot in Disguise premiere, because that's a whole other story. But we were there for that. We were there for the live action movie. We were there for all that, all the iterations, War for Cybertron. It's not like I haven't tried to like all this stuff, but it's like I like the G1 stuff the best. I like the characters the best, but I always get the, oh, you're so close-minded, you just like G1. I'm like, I never said it was close-minded. You know, it's just like, this is the stuff I like. I don't want Optimus Prime that's a fire truck. I tried and it friggin' sucked. I don't want that, you know?
I think it's okay to like only one thing. I think it's important to see what the next iteration is. I mean,
I think you owe it to yourself to be open-minded enough to try the new show, read the new book, sample the new line, even just to look at it in the store. Of course you should. You shouldn't be close-minded that way. But if the thing that you love is still the thing that you love when you grew up, that's okay too.
Nothing's taken away from it. We've said that forever about all the brands we love.
Yeah.
It's like why Thundercats Go is a great show and Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is a great show. Those are both great new cartoons that have come out.
It's great. I've spent the last week since I dropped my second top 10 G.I. Joe figure video.
Oh no.
People telling me how wrong my list is. I like it, man. It's great. You know what I mean? Because it's like,
you're going to have to make a list like of your top 10 things, and it's all the wrong choices.
Yeah.
But just play it straight. Like to say Thundercats Go is the best iteration of Thundercats.
That sounds more like you than me, buddy. You go for that.
Okay. Maybe I'll do that. It'll be the most irritating best of list.
Ever. Top 10 Transformers of all time. Number one, Sharkticon.
I like it. I like it. We can do that. I would probably wipe out Marvel Legends, because I think if I eliminated Marvel Legends at this point, there would be many, many tears for many, many people that want to, you know, secretly envision themselves wearing spandex and all the pain and frustration that people go through to get Marvel Legends figures. I think that would cause quite the outrage.
I mean, I came into it really late. I think you were collecting it way before I did. But I came into it late and already I'm burnt out. It's only been a couple of years and I'm just like, well, it's too much for me, man. Right. There's too many.
I just know the comic book lovers out there that dip their toes into toys to have a little bit of both. Yeah. Love their deep cut Marvel Legends characters.
Sure.
And unlike original trilogy Star Wars, where we know we're going to get 15 versions of Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker, you might only get, you know, Stilt Man once. And you might not see him for another 15 years because he's such a deep cut and because he's not Spider-Man or Iron Man or one of the Avengers, you're not going to get your multiple iterations. So if you took out all those deep cut Marvel Legend characters, all your comic book hardcore fans would be so upset.
Those deep cuts are some, that's one of the reasons I love the line. But just like Star Wars, as of late, the last couple of years, I haven't seen a lot of deep cut stuff.
No, most of it has been driven by the movies, right? Like it's the core six characters.
I don't like that.
Well, but that's what's out there for people to watch, and that's why there's a toy.
Yep. God forbid they should follow the comic books.
God forbid. 4 years ago, my friend, you alerted me to an interesting fact that took place 4 years ago to the day that we are recording this. Did you want to talk about that?
Yeah, good old Facebook and the memories, you know? Some memories you want to see. Some you don't. This is one that I was pleased to share with you. I'm sure you were tagged in it anyway. But it was, I was standing at my work And I remember, for some reason, toys popped into my head. And I think we recently discovered how to do voting or something like that.
Polls, yeah.
Polls on Facebook. And I just... Hey, polls, the five top playsets that came to my head. And it was like, who remembers these toys or whatever? And I don't know if that was the beginning of Action Figure Adventure, but that definitely was one of the sparks where we kind of went, do we maybe want to look at this instead of maybe doing another game one? But that popped into my timeline today. I was like, oh, man, that was 2018. Time flies.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's not forget that we have been trying to crack the nut of the next one for a while on a few different iterations, and we got close with Galaxy of Hope, which didn't pan out as an all Star Wars centric mission, toys, merch, memorabilia, props, same kind of thing, charitable donation. And it didn't work for a bunch of reasons. Timing, a huge one. The people involved weren't the right fit. That's for sure. So that was a blessing in disguise to get rid of some of our potential collaborators. That would have been a dreadful mistake and an awful, awful product as a result. So good blessings happen. You know, sometimes you can't see it in the moment, but boy, in hindsight, it's nice to shovel.
Dumpster
fires.
We shot one scene and you looked at the footage and you're like, yeah, this is awful. I remember
it was a dumpster fire. Like it was just, you could put it all in a landfill and forget about it.
We had the one thing I had fun doing was shooting with Harrison where we shot the poster. That was a lot of fun that day.
Yes, that was cool.
But it was
nice
to
have that.
Remember you're like, oh, one day I'll send you that. I don't want to see any of that crap, man. During those scenes, I was so uncomfortable and just remember like, I'm just like, this just doesn't feel, it's not good. It's not good.
Yeah. And then I think it was it that summer that we thought, let's pivot to something else? And I think it was maybe even Comic-Con. I can't remember if it was Comic-Con that year or if it was the year after that we did our panel with Peter. I can't remember if we had shot Action Figure Adventure or not before we had the panel.
Yeah, we shot it.
Okay, yes. So it would have been the year after.
Yeah, we shot in the summer and the panel was 2019, September.
Okay, so then, yeah, I got it all wrong. So yeah, 4 years ago, December 2018, you post the poll asking people for their favorite most sought after playsets. I think it was Boulder Hill, Eternia, Death Flag, Star.
The Palutoid Death Star to be cool guy.
Yeah, of course. Got to have the hipster pick and the flag. The
flag was there. Fortress Maximus. Yeah, I think those
five. Yeah, that's right. And then we started basically lining things up for January and we shot our first day in February at Heroes. Just impromptu, kind of going around, seeing what was there.
Yeah.
And then we didn't shoot for another 2 months after that. So, but yeah. Four years since Action Figure Adventure Season 1 started properly.
And what a difference, too, because that was shot across almost a year, whereas this one, my stuff was like a week. There's a few things we did here and there, but the bulk of the journey was a week. So it was quite a different experience to you.
I bet. Yeah. And you've said before that you like it in a concentrated effort. I think I had more fun too, rather than is your schedule free? Is my schedule free? I got to race back for this thing. Going on at home. I got to go back and deal with this, you know, like just trying to find the windows to do it rather than say, we're just doing it. It's the week. We're hitting the road. We're not coming back until we have a car full of toys.
Yeah, it felt more like Nintendo Quest that way. Even though that was broken up too, but there was a bulk of it when we went to Texas and such. It reminded me of that, where it's just like you get in a car for a week and we go where we go and then come back completely exhausted and burnt out. And the car looks like
never wanting
a bachelor's apartment.
Yes. Yeah, it looked like there was a bachelor party that happened in the car every night for 7 days.
And the stink. I can imagine the stink.
Woo! Yeah, I had to get my car detailed to get rid of the stink. The stank. Whoa. The stank was cleansed. But here we are now, 4 years later, and episode 9 just played on Jinx Esports TV Canada. The second last episode of season 2 somehow is already out, and our backers have received episode 10, and we're already getting comments about how they felt the season went and their favorite parts and the finale and such. Let's talk about episode 9. What did you think?
What can I talk about?
I don't know. What did you want to talk about?
People that are in it?
Yeah, of course you can talk about people that are in it.
I didn't know Pixel Dan was involved that much, which is really cool to see that footage. I didn't know he was there at the warehouse. That was sweet. Him, Justice, and Joe. That was really great. Them collabing at the table, trying to figure out how they were going to sell this stuff to get the money for children's health. That was really cool. I liked being in the dark. I liked watching it kind of like everyone else does, because we didn't really talk much about the stuff that I was involved with. So it was really cool to see. And I was surprised. And the stuff from Big Bad Toy Store, I won't spoil that stuff, but that was incredible to see all that stuff.
So small recap for everybody that hasn't caught it yet and is waiting for it. Episode 9 features a pretty cool curveball in which we're able to collaborate with Big Bad Toy Store to donate a bunch of materials and toys to us. And because of logistics in the pandemic, they couldn't get them to Canada without incurring a crap ton of duty and freight and shipping costs. So we had them dropped in Michigan, where Motu Joe, Joe Teague, Pixel Dan, and Justice Curry got together. Motu Joe kind of spearheaded the whole thing, made some calls, orchestrated it, and kind of led the charge to receive the shipment from Big Bad Toy Store and then devise a plan to liquidate and raise some cash. So that's kind of where how episode 9 ends.
It was cool. And I forgot too that you and I recorded that little thingy where I was, you know, downstairs and you were at your place and
video shot. Yeah.
Very, that shot of the early morning was very New Hope Luke. I like that. The way it was lit. And it just happened to be that way, right? With the sunrise and stuff. It looked really cool. Yeah, it was a nice stuff you had to say about the things I said too. So I appreciate that.
It's all for camera, buddy. It's all for camera.
Oh, I have no doubt. I have no doubt of that. But to then cut to see other awesome dudes in the toy community join in, that's what we wanted, right? Where it started off with an idea that you and I had, and then to have it spread out. And those three guys are big guys in the toy community too. This isn't, you know what I mean? Like, really big guys to get behind what we're doing, I think speaks volumes. It's awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool that they kind of dropped everything to be a part of it. And Pixel Dan didn't know what was going on, because I told Joe that he couldn't tell him or Justice Curry what was going on, because I wanted to capture their reaction when they walked in the room, right? And if they would have known what was there or seen it, like, you can't fake this stuff. We've talked this a million times.
Yeah,
you know, we're not actors. We can't do the same thing over and over again. And I should say, I wasn't there shooting with them either. I had Nathan and Cindy and Emoto go to Michigan and film all that stuff. And I was kind of at the other end of a phone when they needed me to chime in.
Yeah, I mean, that was that produced its own set of challenges too, right? Because you're a very hands-on director. So that must have been tough for you to kind of, okay, well, you make sure the camera's set up, blah, 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 and the lights are here. And but those guys are very competent. They know what they're doing. So,
yeah.
But again, I mean, that's going to be a different, that's another challenge for you, right? Where you're used to being there. And then you had to kind of just be like, well, I got to trust my guys and we'll see how it goes.
The only way we grow, Jay, is when we step out of our comfort zone and scream like children until we accept the results.
Oh, that, I'm just going to spoil one thing. That friggin' Hot Toys Ultimate Luke, I was like, oh, no. Ultimate, so Luke.
Well, great. It's another Luke Skywalker. Doesn't surprise me. So yeah, you must be on the edge of your seat then, because again, ends in a cliffhanger fashion leading up to episode 10.
Well, not really. I mean, I know how it is.
Yeah, but you don't know how all that stuff plays out with Michigan, because you weren't there. You didn't see it. No. You're watching around with all the other common folk, as you say.
It was really, really cool. Yeah, and I think it was a nice change. Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, I look forward to your reactions next week when you check out episode 10, the season finale of Action Figure Adventure Season 2, and maybe the series. We don't know. Everybody's already asking about Season 3. We just don't know, folks. It requires a lot of financial
money
and monetary
money
and time. So
Yeah.
That is a hard thing. I keep saying, you know, when season two, the rollout outside of Canada goes well, then maybe we can look at a season three. Obviously, there's a lot of different things we can do. Heading west in Canada would be a big check mark because there's so much more of the country to explore. And like we said in this one, the further you go, the further the message gets spread. So that would definitely be on one of my bucket list things to do for season three.
Yeah, west would be cool.
Switching gear.
I'm just going to say I've gone as far as Banff, but I've never been to BC, so that would be cool.
Well, I got to go.
Gotta
get out there. Season three, the difficult third season, the trilogy of shows.
Or we can just throw a monkey wrench in and do like another video game one and screw everyone up.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that too. We'll see. Where's the support, folks? What do you want to see? You want to laugh at this, Jay? So we've joked about how you hate toys now and you're doing more video game stuff again because obviously the analytics are there and you're kind of exploring that passion. Wintertime, it's kind of video game season for you and I, as we've always said. You've always liked games anyways. But, and I saw this when I started putting up the chapters of the real Nintendo Quest, the unedited raw stuff from that journey 7 years ago. I just saw like a huge spike in like viewership. I think 2 weeks ago, I put like a Mike Tyson punch out NES, like short, like a 1 minute kind of crunched playing Tyson. And as soon as I did that, I qualified for monetization on YouTube. I had been sitting like with 30 hours to go to get 4,000 hours within a calendar year as one of the requirements. I have more than enough subs. But as soon as I put that video, within 24 hours, I qualified for monetization because it's like, what? It just jumped up high enough. I was like, yeah. No,
gaming content is huge. I don't know. I'm really enjoying doing the live gaming show and then doing live streams and it's good. I think it's a good marriage to have the two, but you can only like one thing, Rob. So if you like games now, you can't like toys. So you have to be like me where I hate toys now and I just love games. I hate comic books and music too. It's just about games.
And I bet even if I were to make a logo that shows me embracing both games and toys, people would still question it.
They would.
Why would they do that?
Made sure Jeremy put the Nintendo controller in the hand and Luke Skywalker in the other hand just to show, everyone. I'm not abandoning anything.
You need speech bubbles coming out of each side that said, I love toys. I love games.
It'll just say easy.
Awkward segue to music festivals because we are approaching the spring and concert tickets are going on sale. And I've been seeing this weird like music fest generating app on social media where it kind of examines your playlists and your Spotify selection and your iTunes library for what you've played the most often. And it creates like a music, like what would be your ultimate like music festival? Here's your headliner, here's your secondary acts, and here's your tertiary.
I thought that was a Spotify thing for the
You know what? It could be a Spotify thing. I'm not intelligent enough to research where these things come by. I just see something and I run with it like a mad dog. It tells
you what you've listened to the most in Spotify is your headliner and then a tier down.
Yeah. I thought if you were going to do like a toy convention based on that, what would your breakdown be for your headliner? You could only have like one from the big five, then two lesser known lines and like two obscure lines.
So my headliner first?
Yeah, who would
what
be
the, am I doing like, with this? Just
this is like for like a toy convention, you know, featuring like the coolest Star Wars toys or G.I. Joe Master Turtles.
I mean, where my heart is would be G.I. Joe. I think that would make the most sense.
G.I. Joe, and then now two lesser known lines.
Mask.
Yeah.
It would be G.I. Joe Mask. You would know all the, I'm sure I can pick yours too. So it'd be G.I. Joe Mask and then a lesser one than Mask.
No, it's the same level of Mask.
Same level as Mask. Let's go. I don't know. Let's just for fun. Let's dive into something different. Let's do Visionaries.
Okay. And now two obscure lines, even lower.
And I would go Brave Star.
Is that really that obscure?
Well,
I put Brave Star on the same level as Visionaries.
Same level, so even more obscure. Okay, so we're gonna go lower than that. Wow. You're really putting me on the spot here. Crystar?
That would work.
And I don't know much about the series. I know about the figures. I love the figures. I don't know much about the comic book. Crystar and one more?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to play anymore.
I'd let you do Clash of the Titans, because that's an action figure line with a movie, and that's it. Or something of that scale.
Yeah, Clash. I mean, that would be a really short exhibit. Here's four figures.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, this is your toy con. These are the things that are there. The guests of each of these things would be there.
D&D. LJN D&D.
LJN D&D. Okay, that's cool. What do you think mine would be? You seem so sure that you would know what mine would be.
Sure. Yeah. Masters of the Universe.
Headliner.
Underneath that.
This is where it gets tough for you. It doesn't get easy.
Tough, but Turtles is gone. Turtles goes bye-bye.
Gone.
You're good with that. Okay, so He-Man, I'm right?
Sure.
You can't just say I'm right. You can't just say
I'm listening to you. I'm just listening to you. I just want to hear what you lay out.
So keep in mind, everyone listening and watching, if I say Masters Universe, it's 100% right, but he will say Turtles.
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, sure.
100% guarantee it. Now, because I said 100% guarantee it, he'll switch it back to He-Man.
No, I just want to hear what your overall thing is. Whatever I don't want to go through the checks and balances at every stage. I'm not giving you a check mark so you can advance to the next level, Stadium J. I just want to hear your whole poster plan.
No right answer.
Stadium J, tell me the wrong lineup for my Toy-Con.
Leather neck, leather face, leather head.
Other guy.
Leather guy. Okay. He-Man?
Wrong.
Superpowers?
Okay. Yeah.
Another one?
Same level as superpowers.
I can't think of another one.
You could do Secret Wars. That's the same level.
Let's throw in Secret Wars.
Wrong.
That's wrong. So there's two. And then under that, you got
two more obscure lines.
Captain Garbage.
What's He's that? Definitely there. Captain Planet?
Captain Power.
Oh, Captain Power. Okay.
Battle Beasts. I know you love those little guys. I say Battle Beasts.
I'm surprised you went with Battle Beasts over Dick Tracy. So you are wrong.
No Dick Tracer. Well, because you saw that new image of the new whatever. Give me a break.
Mezco 112 two-pack, Bobby. Pick it up and be a dancer on your shelf. So, Rob, are you going to get the Dick Tracy Mezcos? Are you going to do it? Are you?
And then you're going to stream Dick Tracy on Genesis. It's going to be great. And you'll commentate on the movie.
I'm going to be Rob McDick.
Dick Zob.
Richard Zob, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so
Rick Zob it is.
So correct me, what will it be?
Yeah, those are fine.
Yeah,
I don't really care. The only thing I would have subbed in maybe instead of Secret Wars is like Cops and Crooks.
Oh, Cops. Ooh, I'm taking out Crystar. I'm putting in Clash of the Titans or Cops. For
Cops Crystar, is the same level as Mask.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, where's a lot of episodes, lots of list, figures. Mr. It's in my boy. Head. The tier list is in my head. It's how many waves, how much media.
And you have all these analytics.
Correct? I got it all sorted. I already had the answers before you said yes. The algorithms gave it to me in my social yes men. That's how it worked.
Sweet. Well, that sounds like one hell of a whatever this is.
You don't want to talk about collecting toys anymore because you hate them. So I just kind of come up with what if fantasy games.
Can we just walk into this convention and it just says Jay Bartlett and then there's just G.I. Joe toys.
It's Jay Toy-Con and it's like the coolest. It's like the best possible toy fest for you. Has all the best. It has like, so if you were to break down like the vendor tables, if there was 100 of them, 50 of them would be for G.I. Joe. Then you'd get like, you know, 15. Oh, geez. 15
well, let me change 10. Then.
No. Because then you have
Clash of the Titans. There's two figures.
Yeah. Well, maybe at those tables with the Clash of the Titans.
Like, there you go.
Yeah. Well, you wanted it. You changed it to D&D anyways.
D&D. Yeah. Crystar, that was a panic move.
Yeah. This is what Action Figure Adventure is about, ladies
and gentlemen. But now I want to go back to Crystar. No, no, I want to go back to Crystar now because
your tickets are sold. Figure. You've already promised people. That's not my fault that you made a panic move. This is what gets us another episode in Action Figure Adventure. Making questionable panic choices in the moment that are second guessed by me 5 minutes later outside the store.
Fine. I'm already sweating.
Well, that was fun. Black Friday was a month ago. Did you get anything for Black Friday?
No.
What I thought was funny, given how often we talk about prices, I looked at Black Friday stuff, and with all the discounts, things were reasonable, but there was nothing that I wanted.
Well, like, where were you looking? Like Big Bad and stuff like that?
My Amazon mainly, Toys R Us.
Oh, Amazon.
Big Bad did have some stuff, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, do you want this Spider-Man for $60 regular or do you want it for $38?
Stop it. Don't. Yeah,
it's true.
Can't do it.
So to me, it just comes back to like discount hunting when it comes to new toys. If I want something new, I kind of want a discount unless I absolutely think I'm going to love it.
Does it make you sad that none of this
none
of this stuff will ever go back down because prices have never dropped in the history of anything?
No, what'll happen is it'll go back down, but we'll get
if this figure line is just a bit cheaper, it's like, well, that's never going to happen. The new norm is the new norm. What are you doing?
So like, we're going to get stuff like this again, like Khan, you know, from Playmates. It's a $20 figure. It's, you know, superpowers scale, 5 points of articulation. That's what toys are going to be when the price bubble bursts. Like, we won't have toys.
Well, dude, it already has. It already has, 100%.
You know?
And yeah, we're going back to the simplicity too. Just like smaller figures. Here they are. Bloom. There's not like a Build-A-Figure, a million accessories. Just like, here's a little 3-incher again. Here you go. And I'm fine with that. I praise the Last Ronin Playmates turtle because it felt like a toy in my hand. It felt like an actual, the plastic felt like a toy. It came with toy like accessories. It wasn't like super realistic or hyper real. I like that. So I like that Star Trek line actually that you've started to collect.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to get the other figures, but I love that there's that price point right now. And I'd rather, when I talked about those figures with Justice Curry, I could got four of them for the cost of one TMNT Ultimates, which I would rather do. I'd rather check off the figures that I want in a toy-like fashion. That's me. So I think that's what's going to happen. You're going to see an end to the current lines, and you're going to see stuff get rebooted from a price affordability standpoint. And as collectors, we're either going to have to accept a downgrade in articulation and aesthetics if we want to keep collecting, which I think we always will.
I don't.
Because we're going to be priced out otherwise.
Yeah, I don't care about this articulation. Everyone makes such a big deal about that stuff. You want that in maybe Spider-Man or a handful of guys, but who cares? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if that's the difference between $20 and $50, just take it out. I don't care. I'm totally fine with the articulation. And the size, too. If they go back to 3-inch, I think that's great. I'm all for that as well because I miss my vehicles. I miss my play sets.
Yeah. Although that Star Trek line has an Enterprise that doesn't go with it.
Yeah, they need an updated bridge. That would be sick, man. And I would even like to see a Klingon Bird of Prey bridge. I think that would be awesome too. You could get like that. Do you know what I mean? Like just
yes.
I guess like the Playmates bridge for the Enterprise. That would be
There's no reason why they couldn't do it.
Like that. Just a little section of it. And then you could do like the engine room. Is that what it's called? The engine room. And the living quarters and the holodeck. And see, you can have
sick, all these in sick bay. You got to have sick bay.
You can have all these little sections.
For Next Generation really did a good job in the show of showcasing many different environments on the ship. So like 10 forward, like the bar.
That'd be
an easy one
to do. They could click together too. That would be great.
The ready room, which could go onto the side of the bridge. You know,
I mean, it's like taking the side of the Tainted Four that Hasbro brought out in 2020 and doing that. But you know, actually caring. That would be nice. I would like to see that. I think Star Trek is the future, my friends. I'm all on board.
Jay has come full circle. from Condom Spock on his ceiling to teach Star Trek is the
fun. Condom Spock. Yeah, I mean it's not
my choice. That's a story.
I have no more choices. It's like, well, this is what's here now. It's like,
okay, I love it.
Condom Spock.
Do you want to tell your story of Condom Spock? Are you good?
I'm not talking about that.
All right, no. Live long and prosper, Condom Spock. Do you want to play another what if scenario or another what if scenario? I've got two left.
Is what you get. Is what you get for trying to collect this.
All right. You know what? We're coming up. This topic might be better served for the week between Christmas and New Year's, but I'm going to do it now because we'll come up with a better one. I was walking through Heroes the other day. And I saw all the lovely dollies that nobody can afford. And I thought, what would I do if I was head of DC McFarlane Toys in this instance, Hasbro or Mattel for 2023? So I put it to you, my friend, if you were in charge of these companies, what would you do? We'll wave a magic wand and say they could happen immediately. We know obviously there's a production lag and all that, but what would you do if you were DC and for 2023? Would you do anything different than that they're doing already now?
Yeah, if I'm the head of McFarlane Toys or I'm the head of Hasbro or whatever, I'm going to do something that's never been done before. I'm actually going to make it that our company doesn't have, how do I put this? We're not going to make as much profit over the next couple of years, but in time we will just completely dominate. Hasbro will dominate and take over everything. That's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to slash prices to get everybody back. And then over time I will make more money now because I'm not
as Hasbro, as Mattel or as DC,
as all of them, because they're all,
well, you can't make that move as all of them. I'm asking you, if you were in the seat of McFarlane Toys / DC, what would you do with those figures in that direction? How would you change things, or would you change things?
Justin McFarlane, I would change the packaging. I think it's really sucks. It's too big, it's too bulky. The figures, the plastic that McFarlane uses, I've never liked. It's very stiff, it's very brittle. The figures come with their own stands because even McFarlane knows they can't stand. I've had the Joker and a Batman, and even with the stand, they don't stand up. So they got to fix that. That's one thing. I mean, they make every obscure figure from DC Comics, and that's wonderful.
Then the price point is great.
The price point's pretty good. There's no trouble getting the figures. They're everywhere. But yeah, I mean, the quality of the figure. So if you're an inbox collector, again, this is just what I think. I don't think there's anything appealing about a DC multiverse packaging. I think it's very plain. It's very boring. So I take all mine out because of that. And yeah, the figures, they look great, but they don't feel great. They're below NECA plastic. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would do. I would change the materials. It's got to be a little softer, a little bit softer. A lot of it, you know, again, it doesn't have to have a million points of articulation, but it's got to have articulation enough to the fact where it's not like this weird hybrid of a movie maniac. You know, that kind of moves, but kind of doesn't move.
Sure.
So,
and for Hasbro, you would slash all prices. That's your move.
Oh yeah, and it's never been done before. So I think I would get like CEO of the century because I would take Hasbro's profits through the roof. They have to be feeling this. They have to be, because I know you and I aren't the only ones who put on the brakes. Almost everybody, and this is universal in the toy collecting community. It's almost universal that people are like, whoa, it's like we all got smacked in the face in this last year. Right. So they have to be feeling it. So cut the cost down, bring it back to something more reasonable. Keep your packaging with no window. That's fine. If you're going to take the price down.
And Mattel, how would you change things for them?
I mean, for Masters, you got to ease up on the 90 different versions. You're starting to confuse everybody now.
Of like He-Man, it's, you mean?
With He-Man, the Masterverse line, they don't, now they're going into this territory where they don't know what they're doing now with that line. Origins, there's a clear pathway. I get it. The Masterverse stuff I thought was revelations, but now they throw in a random Catra. Here's Catra for no reason. Okay. Now here's She-Ra for no reason. And the weird Skeletor and He-Man. I don't even know what they're from. You probably know the ones
I'm talking New about. Eternia.
Sure.
Yeah, it's I would like, love to see they, like a they planogram started it for as that. A
revelation only, and now it's morphed into this. Well, it's everything, but yet they're trying to do that in Origins. So now it's like whatever art style you prefer. It's diluting it. It's too much. It's too much.
Yeah, slow it's down. Almost Masterverse is supposed to be like a collector centric brand, right? That's why it's the 7-inch and more detail and stuff. But I'd love to see more of a decent planogram. Where there's going to be 6 figures, you're going to get one revelation, one new Eternia figure that goes back to some sort of prototype art, you know, 2 vintage characters in this new style and like something else, right? So that every wave fits the same scheme. So you know what you're going to get. Cause like you said, it's a bit of a shotgun blast of, well, what is it this time?
It's almost like with Masterverse, they kind of open up this book and it's like, oh wow, look at all these. Look at all these characters we have.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at that one. Let's do her. Now let's do him. And it's just like, there's no direction with a line. I have a problem getting behind it and supporting it. And I love the revelation stuff. And then that kind of just faded away. And now it's, have you seen this 40th anniversary He-Man? Have you seen it?
Yeah. I've seen it.
It's weird, dude. Like they got the vintage He-Man, which
is head.
His head is way too small for the body.
Yeah.
And in theory, this should be the perfect He-Man figure. They did the Red Rock explosion. You know, we remember that. So, yeah. And then they tried to like cross vintage with this new sculpt. And it's just this mess.
The problem is,
I think they really have to refocus. And Origins, it's too high. The prices are too high. This was an affordable line that were very solid. You could play with them. You could throw them around. $15. They were killing everything. Now they're $22, $25, and the deluxe figures are $35 now. Nope.
Yeah, part of that is a Canada upsell on cost because the figures haven't changed price that much in the U.S. It's only like literally $2 for each of them. So the deluxe figure in the U.S. is only $25 now.
Our dollar sucks too.
Yeah, 30% is a huge difference. The problem with Masterverse and in particular that 40th anniversary He-Man, it's not a better figure than Classics. And yet it's the same scale. So when I look at anything that I have in Classics, it's better than that.
But you got to think that they're making these maybe, you know, I didn't collect Classics back in the day.
Yeah. So, and that's the ones I pick up too. The ones I'm missing from Classics I pick up, except for when I stick one of those next to a Classics figure. It doesn't fill the gap and it actually stands out in a less appealing way. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. If Classics didn't exist, would it be all right? Sure. But they do exist. And I'd rather have a better figure than something.
I'm trying to tell you now is someone, let's just say someone our age coming into the Masters line. It's like, you know what? I really loved He-Man when I was a kid. I really want a really hyper articulated cartoon accurate version of Bo. Well, here's a Classics one that came out in 2009. Oh, it's $450. I'm just throwing out a number.
Bo's not going to be $450.
I'm just throwing it out there. It's $100. It's something crazy. It's like, oh, well, I can't really afford to collect the Classics. And it's like, oh, look, it's the pink bunny guy. That guy, Plundar, he was amazing. Oh, he's worth $300. So now they're trying to kind of, okay, well, let's bring new people classic kind of quality, except like you said, it's not the same kind of quality.
Yeah.
And they say you can see
I know too much.
It's like, oh, that's here's Catra. Problem. And Catra's not an obscure character, but they're starting to dip into everything. It's like there's no direct. It's just a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah, I agree. If I was Hasbro, I'd really take some time and focus on what I'm going to do with HasLab and really make sure I know what I'm launching for next year and that the numbers make sense and that the offer makes sense. Because so many of these projects now are not getting funded that it's not a foregone conclusion like it once felt like these were. It's like, well, I don't know if this is gonna, like, everybody's skeptical, you know.
HasLab, I kind of treated it like it was a nice treat for us. Hey, treat yourself, you're a Joe fan, treat yourself right, buy that Sky Striker, treat yourself right, buy the His Tank, right? Now it's like they have one project every couple of months and it's like, you know, they're going to be expensive because it's HasLab. I can accept that. What I can't accept is that your regular line is also expensive. So I'm screwed here, and I'm really screwed here. I'm screwed everywhere. Right? So it's, I don't like even looking on HasLab because it's not fun at all because your regular lines are so overpriced that it's all just a big screw fest. Screw job.
It needs to be the Montreal screw job. It needs to be complimentary, right? Like it really needs to complement in price. And you got to, for HasLab, you got to feel like you're getting a good deal if you're going to wait 2 years.
Yeah.
That's what I want to feel like. If I'm going to put down $400 and higher, which seems to be the average entry point, unless you're, you know, one of these Transformer fans that gets excited about like Victory Saber or Deathosaurus or whatever it is from the Japanese cartoon that was never made in America. And that's cool that you have $150 to $200 offering, all the power to you. No wonder those are so successful. But everything else that, you know, we like starts at $400 and up, and we get CG renders that aren't painted or anything like that. Give me something that makes me feel like I'm getting a good deal. Put in the extra figures, all the extra accessories. If you want me to take a gamble with my money and 2 years of waiting time plus delays and the possibility of shipping and whatever else happens, you better sell it hard to me up front.
I know that Hasbro is a corporation, and I know that they're not our friends, even though we think they are because we grew up with all the toys from Hasbro. I get that. They don't owe us anything. But the last year, I really feel like they really don't give a shit. It feels to me like, what are you going to do? Stop collecting? Good luck. We've had you since you were 5 years old. And yeah, I guess they have a mob boss kind of voice for some reason. But that's what I see. Like, and I just feel like I've been kicked. You know, it's like, go ahead, try and stop collecting, kid. Go ahead.
Oh, you think you don't need these dollies on your shelf?
You're going to buy
them. Your shelf says otherwise.
You know what you're going to buy Peter Venkman over and over because I tells you to. Right. That's what I
you know what like. It feels like? It feels like when you play a video game and you can see the math in the background working in the game and the coding that every time you do something, you can expect the reaction to come. Yeah. It no longer feels like an immersive experience because you're aware that people are doing something or have done something to stop you from doing it. Like when you run into an invisible wall and you can't go further, you can't do this. It's like, this is the invisible wall of collecting. I'm very aware of the big business that is Hasbro. The nostalgia, the stench of nostalgia has faded very much in the past month. So yes, for DC, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, going back to what I said earlier, even if you shrink down the lines back to 3.75 inch, Hasbro did that, and those figures. You remember the exclusive O-ring figures? Again, I don't understand what the point of Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes O-ring is. They were like $80 bucks.
Yeah.
So it's Hasbro being nothing but 100% greedy. That's all it is. It's just corporate greed, flat out.
Yeah, and that's where we talk about it's better to go vintage collecting and get the stuff that you want. And
if I can buy the Defiant, or I can buy a reissued Sky Striker, you know, I can get a Defiant in pretty good shape, not 100%. Maybe it won't have the two pilots, but I can still get a Defiant for the price of this reissued Sky Striker. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm gonna go with a Defiant.
Yeah, if I was the head of DC with my figures being so affordable, I would, and even with their large scale figures and some of the vehicles they release being affordable, I would venture into a playset. I would be bringing the Batcave.
To 6 inch?
Yeah, for sure. I would be bringing the Batcave out, you know, at a $200 price point or $250, something like that.
Since
and it's got to be the Batcave, of course, because everything is Batman with that line first and foremost.
Sure. You're the CEO now of McFarlane. I'm just going to pitch this as one of your toy designers. How about instead of build a figure, we build a playset? I mean, look how big the boxes are for McFarlane DC Multiverse. You could stick a lot of different pieces in there right in behind. So put the build a figure on hold for a while. Let's build a playset. Maybe it goes over a whole year or half a year, right, in the Batman line, where it's like if you get all the Batman guys, you get to build a chunk of the Batcave.
And as long as all the figures are easily accessible at retail and nobody hoards Killer Croc for that one piece of the Batcave and you have to pay, you know, 10 times as much on the secondary market.
I will say about McFarlane, they're really fair with distribution, and I've never found it difficult to find what did I wanted the Hamill Joker from Arkham Asylum. It wasn't that hard. I didn't even have to go online to get it. You know, so I will say that he's fair with that. You know, that he does those gray figures that there's only like 1,000 in existence or whatever. I don't care about that stuff. But as far as the regular figures go, he's more than fair.
Do you want to get to Action Figure Spotlight?
Yeah.
Do you have figures to discuss this week? I have
one.
I have a new one and in a vintage offering. You can pick which one that you want to do. Do you want to go first? You want me to go first? That's your call.
I'll go first since you got all your stuff laid out. So on my YouTube channel this week, I posted a new video on The Last Ronin, which Rob and I are both really big fans of that story. It's really great. And I did a Playmates review on the turtle, who, if you don't know who it is, I'm not going to spoil it for you. The turtle that's in it and how great that figure was. And I kind of said, you know, when the NECA one comes out, am I going to want to purchase the NECA one? No, the Playmates one is good enough. I should have known that once I got it in my hand, I would need to see it. And then I thought, hey, wouldn't it be fun to compare the two? Something I did in the early days of my YouTube channel was a lot of Versus stuff. So I thought, let's go back to that. So I opened up my NECA armored turtle, who shall remain nameless, because I'm not going to spoil that story for you guys, even though you probably know who it is anyway. And I compared the two. So guys, you could check out that video right now on my YouTube channel. But this is the NECA armored one. And wow, is it a great figure. $50 Canadian. Expensive? Sure. But when you've cut back, it's not such a big deal. And I put him against the Playmates one. And I think you'd be pleasantly surprised at who I picked for the winner. But I'll let you guys check out the video and decide. But this is awesome. So the articulation, not so great. But the weapons, the actual nunchuck with the chain. He comes with a baton that the Playmates one does not. The sides are actually very sharp. The katana has a sheath. And there's a ton of accessories here that are in a baggie with the rest of my toy accessories, because he comes with a boatload, including, of course, extra head, extra hands, extra bandana, extra underwear, extra bra, extra everything you could ever want from a turtle. That is the unnamed turtle. And it's a friggin' wicked figure.
And just to clarify, this is the armored version, not to be confused with the unarmored version, in which he's a stripped down turtle that doesn't have the cloak. I'm curious what the unarmored one comes with, to be honest. If this one is loaded with accessories, is it the same accessories, just nowhere to put them, or what?
That I don't know. I only saw the armored one, which I would have picked anyway, because I wanted to do the comparison with the Playmates.
Of course. I can't wait to check out the video, because to be honest, we first talked about that when they were both announced, and I said, what do you think will be the better one? And at the time of the announcement, I said the Playmates one dropped 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, whatever it was now. And I was blown away with it. You enjoyed it as well. So now I will be going over to your YouTube channel to checking out your Versus comparison for the in-depth analysis between the two.
Awesome. I appreciate it. And I think with you, since I've done new, I'm going to go vintage if you're cool with that on your pick.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care. So vintage. Vintage for me. Now, this is a figure that you're already aware of that I got, Jay, and this is because you helped me score it and alerted me to its presence, and that is 89 Batman. Now, it's not as it might seem, though. This is actually a little bit of a rare version that I don't think you realized that you were handing me, and I didn't realize until I got it. So, Jay, if I were to ask you who made this version of Batman, what would you say?
I would say Toy Biz.
Well, you're both right and wrong, which is a perfect Rob McCallum answer. So there's no Toy Biz logo on the package. There's no Toy Biz logo anywhere. It's actually Charon Toys.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what Charon Toys is?
I do not.
Either did I. I had to look it up. I thought, is this some weird bootleg? Jay,
is that a knockoff?
No, it's not a knockoff. No? Charon Toys is the original company name before they became Toy Biz out of Montreal. Oh. And they produced a small run of figures before becoming Toy Biz. And so the Charon Toys ones are the earliest examples of the Batman figures. They were quickly later, you know, replaced with the Toy Biz logo down here, the, you know, red circle. but Char and Toys was, you know, an early one. And the package is different for the Char and Toys ones, where this is literally a Superpowers Batman painted with a different cape and the accessory built in.
Just gonna say, I remember as kids we'd flip that over, and I would have much rather have had the Superpowers repaint, to be honest. I'm not a big fan of the figure inside, although the whole package is just, it's our childhood in one package, right? But if you flip it back over, make the screen big, everyone look at the back of that, and you can see Rob's exactly right. That is, and I would like to have that figure, that prototype there. That is the Superpowers Batman with just painted black, the black cape and everything. That is a nice looking figure. And flip it back over, and this is what we got. Jay Leno.
Even the art is strange on the side, right? Like, it's almost Superpowers. Like, you can tell they're really going for that Superpowers vibe, especially stealing the one there.
Yeah,
but, like, they've got the figure on the side and everything.
The gold package was always really cheap to me. It always just seemed really cheap. Although we both love the figure line, but
and it's supposed to be like comic book paper, right? Yeah. Like, with all the dots. It just,
but that's rare, man. That's before Toy Biz. So, score for you. That's great.
I was surprised, and, you know, it was an affordable price, and it's my favorite version of the figure too, because that figure has a lot of different heads and ears and chins and adjustments, but that's the one that I had growing up as a kid. That's the most aesthetically pleasing one for me. And I can't tell you how, like, the nostalgia wave I got when I saw it in hand and held it there. I was like, whoa, this was an instant time travel back to, you know, the summer of 89 and all of that. And I remember distinctly seeing rows and rows of that gold packaging in Toys R Us, Batman's, Robin's, Mr. Freeze's, Superman's, Wonder Woman's, you know, all that.
Yeah, some figures are great. I was a big fan of the Batman movie line, but then when they started doing, like, I didn't like Riddler, and Mr. Freeze was really bad.
DC Superheroes is what they expanded it to. It's the same gold packaging, Robin, different logo. Yeah.
The Robin was just, that Robin is, it feels like a bootleg Superpowers figure. It pretty much is the Superpowers figure, but you just know that it's just off.
It's not. I for years thought it was the same. Like, even up to doing Action Figure Adventure Season 1, I thought, no, it's the exact same mold, until I held them both in hand. And the plastic is softer, more friendlier on the Superpowers one. Yeah. The articulation
feels different. It's weird.
Cape is different. Yeah. It's all different. So, yeah. So my pick this week, Vintage Batman.
That's
now,
a great one.
Can I do a quick preview of what my other one was going to be, because I think you'll appreciate this.
Let's do it.
So, not to steal the spotlight, but I got this guy. So this is Exosuit Spike Witwicky.
Wait a minute. You hate Transformers, though.
That's right. So funny that we talked about that. Wow. And now, what's hilarious, I was so excited for this, but of course, because it's Hasbro, there's no plastic here.
Yeah.
It's windowless. But look, I don't know if it'll focus. Yeah, you can see. Look at his face.
Yeah, it's like mask. Yeah.
The eyes aren't painted.
Yeah, it's like a mask figure. Yeah.
There's no painted eyes. It's so dumb.
So,
I was so let down that I can't have eyes. I'm going to take a pen and draw in there so that these things have pupils. Like, are we so lazy that we can't paint the eyes?
You can do whatever you want. It's your toy, my friend. Don't let anyone ever tell you any differently.
For $15, though, I should get painted eyes.
Yeah, my history with that figure, it's part of the 86 movie line. I didn't even know that figure was a thing until our buddy Michael Mercy made a video. And I'm like, I messaged him, like, dude, what the hell? He's like, yeah. And I went on Amazon, and I got so lucky that they had one. So it got shipped to me. And it's like the Grogu, where he comes in, like, it's like a little candy cigarette box. It's really cute looking. No eyes. And I took it out. I did a video on it. And I actually really, really like the figure, because he is to scale.
Yeah.
He's to scale with the rest of them, and I couldn't believe it. He's a lot better than the Daniel that comes with one of the Dinobots. That Daniel, you can't even see his face. It's terrible. That figure, I love that Spike figure, man. You'll like it. You gotta open it, though, for sure.
I'm just disappointed that there's no face on it. It's like, come on. Like, why wouldn't you paint a face? Paint the face!
I remember he wasn't that much cheaper than an actual regular-priced Voyager class or whatever. Yeah. Good figure, though.
Where can people find you to catch your videos, like your TMNT comparison and everything else?
Guys, check me out on YouTube. I live there now. I pretty much stream all week. So if you go on my YouTube channel, chances are you'll run into me.
Well, isn't that a one-stop shop for everything Jay does? And you can catch me. I am still on Twitter. People are saying get off Twitter. I don't know yet. I don't care enough to invest time in that. But I'm also on Instagram, Rob McCallum Films Action Figure Adventure, of course. And here on this YouTube channel, don't forget to like and subscribe. Maybe the funny, fancy graphics will pop up at this point. But thanks for watching another episode. Jay, any parting thoughts before we say goodbye?
Next week for Action Figure Spotlight, I will have something that I've been looking forward to for 2 years. And it's a new figure. I can't wait to share it with you guys.
Next week, I'm sure I have something that I've waited for 2 years and that I absolutely don't care that I now have.
You'd be like, oh, I didn't cancel that pre-order. Dang it.
How didn't I cancel that? Crud. All right, Jay, what's our new catchphrase at the end of the show? Good luck with all your Chrome credit card debt.
I think it's for the love of toys, you hate Transformers, and I hate all toys. Chrome credit card coffin.
We'll see you next week.